Have you ever wished you could write a bunch of blog posts at one time, but man, you got to sit in front of ChatGPT or Claude and do them one at a time? It takes forever, right? Well, it's a lot better than it used to be before we had AI, but there's an even better way, and that's with the Bulk Writer in ZimWriter. It's going to allow you to create amazing blog posts and do so in bulk. This is especially great if you're an agency or if you write a lot of content for yourself or your companies. This is an amazing tool. Don't forget to check out this aspect as we dive in and show you why it is I love the Bulk Writer in ZimWriter.
Let's take a look at the bulk creator feature here inside of ZimWriter. We're going to go to the main menu here. We're running ZimWriter. Bulk Writer is where we want to go. We're going to click on the Bulk Writer tab here to see if we're going to open up this window. Get over here so see it better. And we've got the opportunity here to create blog posts in bulk. And this is so incredibly cool. Whether you're an agency creating for your clients or whether you're doing it for yourself and just trying to get caught up on the meeting, this gives you the ability to create amazing AI-assisted blog posts and do it many at a time. Let's take a look and see how we do this. So first thing we want to do, we can load profiles if we want. So you can set up profiles for yourself, for your clients, or anything else. I'll cover that on another video. For this point, it doesn't really matter. We're going to skip that. And we're going to talk about blog post titles. Now, if you've got a list of, let's say, 5 or 10 items that you want to write blog posts about, those titles, you can put those in right here. You can literally copy and paste those directly into the system. Let me show you how that works. So I've got 10 blog posts that I've decided I want to write, and grab some titles. I've used AI to help me find those, and I'm just going to paste those in here. Literally just a list of those titles. So you can see why versatile AI prompts matter, 10 best techniques for versatile AI prompt engineering, what are the best practices for prompt engineering, elevating AI model performance, blah, 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 blah. I won't bore you with all that, but 10 blog posts. And now this is where it gets so powerful. Just pick the titles. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? As they say. Now I get to choose how many H2s do I want and a lot of other things. So H2s, as you know, we're going to have the H1 as the title on a blog. H2s are going to be your subsections. I can choose a specific number or my favorite. I choose automatic. In other words, I want AI to look at the topic, plan the blog post out, and if it needs 8, that's 8. If it needs 10, that's 10. But to use the what's recommended. And then I can limit it. In other words, maybe I don't want any more than, and I generally like limiting it to about no more than 8. I don't like my blog post to be super long. You could do a lot more, so you can see, but we'll limit it to 8, so it won't do any more than 8. Then how long do I want each of those H2 sections? I can make them really short and tiny. I can make them just short, maybe a sentence or two. I can make them medium, which is probably going to be about a paragraph. Or I can make them long, which would be multiple paragraphs. A lot of this is going to depend on how much information you want to put in place. As a default, I tend to go towards medium to make these readable, but you can do whatever you want. So we'll stick with medium here. So again, we're setting that. Now we're going to choose our voice. By default, it's going to write in second person. That's great, but you may determine that you want to write in first person or first person plural or third person or professional. If you remember English class and what all those mean, and I don't, you can choose the one that makes the most sense. I generally go by second person where it's going to talk about you, your, and yours, and that seems to flow super well. Then we've got some options here, and one of the things we want to do is we're using AI to assist us in our blog post writing. We want to make sure that we're making it sound more human. Some of the best ways to do that are right here. So we're going to enable literary devices. We're going to enable lists. We're going to enable tables. By the way, if you want to know how this works, just hover and you can see 40% chance when I enable lists that they're going to incorporate bullet lists and things like that into the content. Bullet list, numeric list, that type of thing. Tables, it's a little bit different. About a 30% chance that it's going to be in there. One of my favorites, nuking AI words. We're going to cover that on another one. You can actually give ZimWriter a whole list of words that you don't want AI to use, and it will do its best to make sure that it's not using them. Not guaranteed, but if you want to get rid of things like Game Changer and Delve and those types, you can put that in. I've got a massive list. I'll share it with you here on another video of how you can set that up, and it will minimize the use of those words. I can also turn on bold to help readability. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but when people read blog posts, they're not reading it like a book. They tend to skim. And so bolding for readability can really help make sure they're catching the relevant sections. And AI can actually do that automatically. I like turning it on. Some people don't. It's your preference. There's no right or wrong here. Then do we want to enable a key takeaway section? In other words, once the article is written, do we want to have it evaluate that article, that blog post, and write a key takeaways at the beginning? I think it's a powerful tool to use, so I always turn that on. And then do I want to have H3s? In other words, if an H2 is so big, there's so much information, do I want to take the chance that it's going to add H3s underneath that to break that subtopic down? I like that. You can see here when we do that, we've got about a 20% chance of that happening on any given H2. But I think it makes the article better versus ending up with either not enough information to cover the topic, it's broad, or too much. So I love that. Then we get to go into our intro. What type of intro do we want? Well, you say, Jonathan, what are my choices? Well, the choices are pretty simple here. We can do a standard blog type intro, or we can do one, as I like to do, on the search intent intro. What that does is it's going to actually evaluate the title and what the blog post is about and say, if someone were searching for this online on Google or ChatGPT or things like that, what question might they be asking that would lead them to this blog post? And it then attempts to answer that question in the first paragraph. This is relevant because Google and other sources oftentimes will poll their users and go, once you visited this website that I sent you, did it answer your question for you? And if you can answer that question early on in the article, that then will, one, encourage people to read, but also help you with SEO improvements. So I like to do that. Next question, FAQs. Do we want to have frequently asked questions input? I like those. I love blog posts that have FAQs because I can skim that. You can keep in mind we're not generally reading, we're skimming these articles, or your users will be. So FAQs are great. And what it's going to do is it's going to add an FAQ section at the end of the article. And I like that, right before the conclusion. So I'm going to choose short answers. Don't want to get too wordy, but I think that'll work super well. Then audience personality. Now, if you're familiar with the 12 brand archetypes, you can pick one of those here and pick who your audience is. If you are not, don't fret about it. You don't have to. If you want to learn about it, you can just Google 12 brand archetypes or go to Perplexity, and it'll tell you about those. And if you can identify that, it'll help the system write in a way that's going to appeal to your audience. But if you're not sure, or if your audience is broad, don't worry about it. That's not a big one. Next, we get to choose our writing model. And this part, folks, this is important. It's going to make a big difference in the quality of content that we get out. It's also going to impact how much we pay for that article. Remember, with ZimWriter, you bought a license to ZimWriter, you're going to be paying for your API costs. So we've got lots of choices. I've got lots of things set up here. Let me just quickly walk through the models so you know how to pick them. You've got your GPT models, which end with an OA for OpenAI. That's using OpenAI keys. Those are going to be direct from OpenAI. And if you're using ChatGPT, you're going to get the best price that way. There's multiple models. I would, if I'm writing a blog post, I'm going to use 4.0 right now as I record this in December of 2024. That may change, obviously, down the road. We've got some Llama models, and you'll notice they have a Grok model behind it. That's because of the open, where that OpenAI key, or I'm sorry, that API key is coming from. Then we've got some Claude models with Ant behind it for Anthropic. This is going to, again, mean you've got the best model. And you go, Jonathan, why are we talking about this? Well, you'll see in a moment, there's multiple ways to use these models through different providers. So I've got this set up. Again, if I'm writing blog posts right now in December of 2024, I'm going to either use 3.5 Sonnet or Haiku to do that. Just so you know that Sonnet is, assuming Sonnet was going to cost you a dime to write an article, a Haiku is going to cost you about 5 cents, and Opus is going to cost you about 30 cents. If you're writing just a couple blog posts, not a big deal. But if you're writing lots of them, that can be a lot difference in your total payment. Then notice we've got GPTs here, similar up above, but now it says OR. That means these are being provided by OpenRouter, which is another API source. And this gives me the ability to do lots of things, including Perplexity and more Claude models, Mistral models, Llama models, even Grok. I can use Twitter's Grok to write them if I want that, or X, I'm sorry. I still call it Twitter. So lots and lots of choices that I have in there. For our purposes here, I really like 3.5 Sonnet, so we're going to stick with 3.5 Sonnet and have it write those articles accordingly. Then we go down and we choose write in the style of. So you've got a couple different things here. If you've used, for example, my SelfScribe setup where you're actually a brand scribe, either one, SelfScribe or brand scribe, where you're setting up that snippet, you can paste that in right here, or you can put somebody's name in here. Maybe you say, you know, I want to write in the style of Abraham Lincoln. I can just type that in here, and it will then mimic as best as possible what it knows about Abraham Lincoln. Now, the key here is you have to put in someone that the AI is going to know who it is. So if you're not sure, go ahead and take that person, go to ChatGPT and say, what can you tell me about this person? And if it knows who that person is, it'll probably know their style. If it doesn't, then you don't want to put a person's name in there because that's not going to work well for you. We can also use auto style. I use this a lot It certainly helps make sure. And what it's going to do here is going to write in the style of the most trusted person for each article. And this is helpful when we're using the bulk editor, because we're going to get multiple different perspectives, very similar tone. It'll be professional and all that, but it's going to be similar based on that style. Do you want it to automatically include keywords? So basically, were you going to use ChatGPT anyway to pick your keywords? Well, then go ahead and just say automatic keywords. Make that easy. We can then go ahead and we can choose, do we want a mid-journey prompt for every H2 section? Sometimes people like to put an image for every H2. It's a best practice. I admittedly don't do it because of the amount of time it takes. But if you want that, you can get a mid-journey prompt. And by the way, you could use that prompt in Flux or in other services. You don't have to use it in mid-journey. But you can get basically an AI image prompt at each step of the way. Do I want to enable the progress indicator? I like to do that so I know how long it's got, especially when I'm doing bulks. It'll give you some perspective on which blog post it's writing and how far through it is. In general, these are going to take, depending on the model you choose, 3 to 5 minutes to write per blog post. So if I'm writing 10 of them, it's going to take 30 to 50 minutes to write that whole batch. Then, do I want to overwrite the URL merge cache? You don't need to worry about this in most cases, unless you're connected to your WordPress database or WordPress website. Even then, you probably don't need to worry about it, so I would not worry about that unless it comes up. Then we've got options for a featured image. Do we want to go ahead and go out to a site like Pexels and have it find a featured image for us and insert it automatically into the blog post? That can be a great way to do it. Or do we want to have DALL-E or Stable Diffusion or Flux? We've got Recraft, Ideogram or Ideogram, however you say that. All of those are available that we can pick to go ahead and create that featured image. So if I wanted to and I say, hey, I really like Flux Pro, I can go into Flux Pro and it will now create a featured image that will include with the deliverable here for that. And that can be super, super helpful. Next, I've got my subheading images. Do I want to do that on every H2 or every other or none? Right now, just because of the time, I'm going to choose none. But again, if you want, every other is a great way to do it. It's a great compromise. Subheading image model. In other words, I could use one model for my featured image and I could use a different model for my subheaders. Maybe I want to use a less expensive like Flux Schnell instead of Flux Pro. It's going to cost me less money. Again, we're going to pay for each of those uses if we do that. If I want to put it out in non-English, I can choose that here. I can also then choose the model for translation. So if I wanted to write this in Spanish, I would just type in Spanish here. And then I would choose which model I wanted to translate. In other words, it's going to write the article in English and then translate it after that. Do I want to disable skinny paragraphs? So skinny paragraphs by default are the way that ZimWriter is going to create things, and it helps people read through the blog post. Unlike in our English classes, when oftentimes we'd end up with pretty long paragraphs, a lot of times people prefer shorter ones. Again, it's easier to skim. If you don't like that, you can just disable it. It's super easy, and then it'll write in the style that you're more familiar with. I would ask your question, this is, who is your audience? Is your audience going to appreciate a more traditional writing style or a more modern writing style, and base it on that? I can also disable active voice if I want. I can then disable the conclusion. By default, ZimWriter is going to put a conclusion on every article. I like to have that there. So we're going to leave that in place, and I'm going to disable skinny paragraphs. All right, we're almost done. These are, by the way, once you get used to these options, it's really fast to go through them because you won't be explaining them. I can then link to my WordPress website to have it automatically upload this blog post to my WordPress website when it's done if I want. I can enable what's called a link pack, which I don't have done right now. That would be a series of links, maybe links on my website, that it would try to insert as it was writing the blog post. So it would help with that internal linking. And I basically give it a series of links and it tries to insert those as appropriate. I can enable what's called SERP scraping, which is a search engine result placement scraping. And that would give me the ability to look at other articles. For example, on the first one, we've got why versatile AI prompts matter. I could actually go in and it would then search, scrape the web and find the top 3 articles or so, scrape those articles, find out what they're doing, how many H2s they've got, how many word count they've got, how many images, and it would try to mimic that for you as it was creating that. We can turn on deep research. This is a brand new and amazing feature. Again, we'll talk about that in another video where you can enable deep research and ChatGPT or Claude or whatever model you've got here underneath ZimWriter will actually go out and research the topic before it writes it. That's critical if we've got things that may be outside of the knowledge base or the knowledge cutoff for ChatGPT and Claude. As a reminder, as I record this, the knowledge cutoff on ChatGPT is August of 2023, so 16 months ago now. And that isn't, that's generally not a problem. If I'm writing about a lot of things, that's fine. But if I'm writing about something that matters, like AI, I probably want to do that deep research. Or if I'm writing news stories, I absolutely want to do that research so I can get more relevant information. I can also go ahead then and I can set up style mimics. So mimics are where you've created a voice and style that you're going to use for this post. If you're an agency, I recommend you creating a mimic for every one of your clients. That way, when you're creating content for them, you can enable their mimic and it'll write in their tone and style. If you've done my Self-Scribe or BrandScribe program, I encourage you to put that into a mimic and again, select it right here. It makes it really easy. Mimic is a whole other feature we'll cover in a separate video. Then I can turn on a custom outline. If I know the outline I want for this blog, then for each of these blog posts here, I can turn that on. I don't need to do that in this case. I can also turn on custom prompts, YouTube videos. That would go out and find a YouTube video for each one and insert that in there. That can be kind of cool. And then if I want to, we're going to show in a separate video how you can prep all of this information in a simple spreadsheet. And then you can simply upload the spreadsheet and you don't have to go through all this selection. That's really helpful when you're doing bulk work, and I'll show you that in a separate video. Once we're all said and done, we're gonna go ahead and create that article. I'm just gonna take one of these because I don't wanna do all of these while we're waiting. Let's see, which one looks most interesting? We'll get rid of those. Robust and adaptable AI prompting strategies for success. That's probably pretty broad, but that's all right. So we're just gonna have it write one article so I can show you what this looks like on the conclusion. I'm going to go ahead and get things started. We just simply click here, Start Bulk Writer, and we go with that. So I'll be right back. Quick update before I do that. Really important step. When you click on the Bulk Writer, it's going to bring up this pop-up that you see that's going to basically confirm you really want to write all these bulk articles. Now, I've deleted them, so I'm only writing one, but imagine we had a list of 15 or 20 or 100 in here. It would list all of them. And before you say yes, and you're committed to spending that money, because once you press that, you can't stop the process. It's going to ask you to confirm. So I do want to confirm and proceed. So we'll go ahead and do that. You'll notice it says ZimWriter is ready to write your articles. It'll write them in the background and skip articles where it encountered an error. Very rarely does that happen. It'll write one article, can take anywhere from 3 to 30 minutes, depending on the model you choose. I find 3 to 5 is pretty normal. And I simply say, okay. And now we're going to wait patiently while this article finishes, which will be a couple minutes. You can see right down here in the bottom is my post indicator telling me it's working on blog number one. Already 8% complete. We'll be back when it's done. All right, and just that fast, it's done. That did, by the way, take about 2.5 minutes to go ahead and write that article. You can see now it pops up when it's done, an output finish to tell me that it's successfully written. If there were any errors, it would tell me that as well. Go ahead and close this, and it's as easy as just going into my thing, into my output folder, and here is the most recent article. You can see it's all done in Markdown, and you may go, Jonathan, that makes sense. What am I going to do with all that? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, as they say. Let's go ahead and pop over to Google. I'll open this in a Google Drive, so it's a little easier to see. All right, so now we're over into a Google Doc. I went ahead and converted that into the Google Doc here. You can see it's pretty simple. So I have left on a lot of data that I want at the beginning of my documents. I like to look at that to know where it's at. This will give you a little perspective on what happened, is kind of the instructions. So this particular image, to give you perspective here, this estimate is a cost estimate. It's pretty close. It wrote 1,373 word blog post and spent about 7 cents to do that. So that's what this article ended up costing me in API cost. That's in addition to what you paid ZimWriter. But again, pretty easy. 53 calls. In other words, 53 prompts were used in order to create this blog post. When's the last time you actually did 53 prompts to create a blog post? And the great thing is, here's my Midjourney prompt. So it gave me an AI image prompt right here. I could go ahead and paste that in. We'll do that actually, and I'll show that to you guys as well so you can see what style that gets. It then gives us our meta description that we can use or edit if we want, and all the keywords that it put in place. So pretty simple. Then it starts our article. So this is really where our article starts. I would obviously get rid of any of the rest of it before I posted it to my blog. This is where our article is going to start. Let me see if I can get that, do a carriage return there. There we go. And so here we go. So this is that SEO-based intro paragraph that starts. And again, I turned off skinny paragraphs. I've got longer paragraphs here. You can see some visual bolding that's taking place. I can, again, if I want to change that, I can easily just come in here and add a carriage return. Not a big deal. Makes it really easy for me to go ahead and do that. One of the things I love is the key takeaways. Notice here's the key takeaways right at the beginning of the article, but it writes these at the end. So it writes the whole article and then it creates the key takeaways to make sure they're super relevant. And then we can jump in for the rest of the article. Now this table didn't come across in format perfectly, but it would look great if I moved it onto my WordPress blog. So no problem there. And I've got all kinds, I've got some lists. We can see all the other things that you're familiar with ZimWriter. These are all pretty common. I've got my FAQs and then my conclusion. So I've got a good blog. Now, we want to make sure that we're proofreading this before we post it. But imagine that ability to go into the bulk writer and not create one article at a time, but literally create dozens or even hundreds. You put up to 1,000 different requests in there. So this is the bulk writer. Next, we're going to talk about how we use the spreadsheet in the bulk writer. And I think you'll love that even more if you're doing a lot of bulk work.
So there you have it. That's the basics of the bulk writer. It's a fantastic tool. It works amazingly well. And I want to encourage you to give it a try. Also, don't forget to check out, if it'll be there soon, if not already, how to use the bulk writer with the CSV sheet. It's an incredible way to even leverage the bulk writer even more. And oh, before I forget, I want to show you what the images that were created with that Midjourney prompt. Take a look at those here, and you'll have an opportunity to see the images that were created. I used Midjourney, used the prompt that came directly from ZimWriter, and these would be great for featured images on the blog post. Here we go.